Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Laura, for leading us again. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4 again in the Scripture. So I mentioned that over four Sundays here, last Sunday when Kim was with you, and me today, and the next two Sundays with Al and Dan, I've assigned to them all the same subject. We're talking about Christians being in community and how to have conversations about Jesus in community. And actually, the portion we read this morning was very instructive in a number of things. And I don't want you to be misled and think I'm just going to talk about what you talk about today, because I think there's other things to be said in regard to it that give a more holistic approach to how I'm to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. Increasingly, as I become more seasoned, Jerry, I'm trying to simplify things and say, let's just get down to brass tacks. Let's get down to bottom lines and what makes it simple. So I'm at least trying to do that. And so for me, I have about three great big words that are very important, I believe, to me as a Christ follower, but to you as one who wants to follow Christ too. One word would be Christ. Christ has to do with who owns me. It speaks of my identity. I am a Christ one. That's who I am. And so that is a foremost security in my life. The second word that's pretty big is the word community. That speaks about where I'm at. It speaks of my location on planet Earth. That's where I live. And so being in community, means I'm with other people and my location is here. When I use the word connections, and we do have a connections group in our church very appropriately, connections has to do with what my focus is, what I'm to be doing. Why am I, who call myself a Christ one, am located in a community? And it occurs to me that from God's point of view, I am here to connect. If God didn't want me here, he could have taken me to heaven the moment I received Jesus as Savior. That was at like 7 or 8 years of age, okay? But God left me here, and he left you here when you received Christ to live in a community, a local community, and to connect with people. Why is this so important? It indicates our role. Our role is to get to know God better and get to know others better. We might put it this way. It's the Great Commission. I'm to love God first, but then I'm to love my neighbor. And there's always that balance in Christian living. God leaves us here to fulfill that calling, to love him and to love others. And so in that loving others, I also represent him. So let's talk about it another way. Depending on what church you were raised in, there may have been a heavy emphasis on the spiritual, love God. But if you were in another church, even if it called itself a Christian church, there may have been a heavy emphasis on the social, love others. And sometimes through the years, those two things got separated so that churches became almost, not stereotypical, but you could identify them by, that church believes the Bible. They love God. But sometimes they don't have much to do with social. And then other churches, they're so social that they neglect the Bible and therefore really don't love God. The biblical balance is this. We are called to love God and love others. And so my spiritual life is not to be separated from my social life. And I would say probably that the Christian perspective on how these two things ought to be together is that my love for God, my spiritual side, ought to permeate, flow all through, just like putting jello powder in a glass of water. It just filtrates through everything in that glass. My spiritual life is to permeate my social interactions. And so it isn't, let's put it this way. It isn't a matter that I have my spiritual life and I have my real life. I don't know if I told you, but down at the farm, when I'm driving, when I was coming back a few years ago from a late at night with an empty trains, two trailers from tomatoes, my boss phoned me as I was coming through Deal Town on the CB and says, "Bill, got this load to go tomorrow morning. And I'm just wondering if you're up to it." And by this time, it was later September, and I was getting tired. And so I said, "Well, you know, it is, I've been doing this for 3 or 4 weeks now, and I'm getting tired, and then my sense of humor kicked in." I said, "And I need to leave time for my real job." And the radio went dead for 15 seconds. And then he said, "I thought this was your real job." And so now down at the farm, every once in a while, I just make sure they're half listening. And I say, "Well, I finished driving the truck for now. I got time now for my real job." But sometimes as Christians, that differentiation is not so funny. Because sometimes we compartmentalize church life, real life. And that's when we get in trouble. That's when we're not being a good witness. Because we think that coming here on Sunday morning, this is spiritual. And it has, and this, we're in our own little compartment. And tomorrow I'll go and really live. When God says, no, your spiritual life ought to permeate all your social life. You're a Christian in community, making connections. And so we need to have a very, I'm going to use the term, holistic view of what it means to be a Christian. And scripturally speaking, that's what Paul meant when he said that you show your repentance by your deeds. And we've all know that. That's good theology. The fact that I come to Jesus, that needs to be proved. So just that's an introduction. Let us ask three questions this morning, maybe helping us to how can I be a witness? What can I say in community? The first one would be, where do I begin? And I believe it's quite simple. It begins with the fact that I heard the gospel message. Jesus loves even me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God so loved me, he gave his one and only Son, that if I will believe in him, I will not perish but have eternal life. So I heard that message. Secondly, I responded to that message. And that has to do with me just recognizing that my sin kept me under the wrath of God. And I needed forgiveness. I needed to build that bridge of peace back to God. And I couldn't do it because I could never be good enough. But rather, God sent his Son, and Jesus was the one who made provision through his death on the cross. He took my death penalty upon himself. He was buried. He rose again. He made provision so that I could enter into a relationship with God. So I heard about this. And I responded to that message. And even beyond that, I would say, now I live that message. And so the Bible is very clear as to why we exist as those who claim to be Christ followers on planet Earth. We exist in order to know the God who is from the Bible. When I learn to listen to him, then I love him, and my desire is to live for him. Let me say this, that I also begin to experience a transformation. where I become more like Jesus, so that it isn't just me telling others with my mouth, it's others seeing by how I live. And that transformation is so important. So I heard and I responded, and now the message is becoming a part of me. That's where I begin. It becomes very personal at that point. You know, we've been talking about this issue of vision. And I know what we mean. And sometimes we've been having a hard time saying, well, what is our identity in a church, as a church, in our community? What can we do? What is our signature ministry that would really help us to go forward? But I've been standing back and thinking, you know, why are we struggling with this? And I have come to the conclusion that if we're not careful, we're talking about so much how do we run the business versus what is our first business. And I believe our first business is, number one, our focus and our vision is to get to heaven. And that's what Jesus provided for. And once we know that we have a relationship with God and we're going to heaven, it changes our perspective on everything else in life. No matter how difficult things may get here, I can see light at the end of the tunnel. It changes my perspective. But the other issue is, from Ephesians 4, that my primary focus on planet Earth is to go on to maturity. So those two great big things, make sure you're ready for heaven, and then if you know Jesus, we go on to maturity. We grow in the Christian faith. We become like Jesus. Those two things are what I need to keep before me. Their first priority. Once those things are in place, I believe that we are open to listen to God to direct us. But sometimes we want to see the big church all in place and the pews filled, and we want to see the business running well. But the cost of that happening is to making sure that our primary focus is we are going to heaven and I am going on to maturity. I'm going to be like Jesus. And when we're like Jesus, we're listening for God to direct us. So this is where we all begin. It must become personal. In other words, God is working in me. And not only do I know the gospel message and how to present that to others, but I also am living it. And so I'm living proof. And that's very important. The second question would be this. Where am I at? Well, the first thing would be we're in Christ, because if we've received Jesus, God places us in his family or in Christ. And that's everything we've talked about thus far. The second thing that we would answer when it comes to where are we at is that we are in community. And that is very real. And let me say a couple things about that. The community is a place where we're seen. In other words, biblically speaking, we live as one seen. You might want to write down Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine. And in other places, he says, let your light shine that they may see your good works. And even though they say things against you, they will glorify God on the day he comes. Why? Because your life was so convincing that the message was heard without you even maybe opening your mouth. There's a changed life there. That person's been transformed. Owen and I were discussing the other day, who can argue with the fact that Tim Joyce in town, the pastor of the Word of Life Full Gospel Church, that his life has been changed? He was an alcoholic. And God got a hold of him. And now they're going to celebrate their 20th anniversary as a church soon. But it's this transformation that is so important. And so the community is a place where we're seen. Someone else has put it this way. That we ought to live as a person watched. Isn't that good? We live as a person watched. And I've often said, you know, I want to shine like mad. I'm not ashamed. And we've sung this for years. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. And this is right from Matthew 5. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But then he said, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So when it comes to living in community, to me, this is a big issue. It's the issue that I live as one who is seen. But also, the community is the place where I serve. And this has to do with the reality of others seeing. I told you, and I'm actually quite excited about this because maybe it was my original, but it wasn't. Some people say to me in the past, what's your philosophy of ministry? I'm trying to figure out what philosophy is. Okay. But I know what they're saying. They want to know how I approach doing ministry. And I think I figured it out now a little bit. Maybe you do it differently, but this is how I've chosen to do it. If people don't really see me, people don't really know me. If people don't really know me, people really don't trust me. If people really don't trust me, people really don't listen to me. And if people really don't listen to me, people really won't believe me. And isn't that Christian witness? I do not believe that pastors ought to be unknown sitting in their offices and from some people's perspective being pencil pushers. So heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. They need to be seen. And we need to be known. And we need to be trusted. And we need to be listened to because of trust. And then we will be believed. We earn the right to be heard. Do you see what God is doing? It's so exciting. Because it used to be that I grew up in fundamentalism. Preach the word. Preach it. Pound the pulpit. Give the altar call. Hellfire, brimstone. You know, get the message out. And I believe all that stuff. I believe in health and so on. That's what the Bible teaches. The same Bible that talks about heaven talks about hell. Jesus spoke about it. But there was the holistic approach. It isn't just about what comes out. It's about what comes out here as being consistent with what comes out right here. Being seen and heard and trusted. And so what's happening? I live in a community where I am seen, where I am watched, and so are you. And that's where we serve. Because they will know you are Christians by your love. That's what Jesus said. And so it's acts of service taken from Acts chapter 20, as we had mentioned. You prove your repentance by your deeds, and others see those things. And I was interested here in Acts chapter 4, verse 16. Here the guy was healed, and it says in verse 16, what are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem, that's local, that's where they lived, that's where this guy was healed, this is their community. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle. So word got around, they were living as though seen and watched. What I noticed was, and we cannot deny it. Some people don't like Jesus. But one thing they can't deny is that if a person claims to know Jesus and their life has changed, how can they argue with that? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. The fact that my primary focus is that I am going to heaven because I made a choice to turn from my sin and receive Jesus as Savior. That's vision number one. And also, I am going to go on to maturity and be transformed so that I am living proof of Jesus in a person's life. He not only gave me life, but He gives me life more abundantly, John 10:10. Do you see where we're going with this? Do you see why being a witness for Jesus isn't just about what comes out here? It must be totally consistent with what comes out through my life. And we all know of those who are so eager to talk and their life doesn't back it up. And that is very unfortunate. Others, however, have a life that so backs up the message, and perhaps they need to learn to talk a little bit. And that's what we're talking about here today, or we're going to get to it here. So here we have this issue. We live as those who are seen, and we live as those who are served. And where am I at? I am living in a place where integrity and acts of kindness and mercy and love and encouragement connect with people I'm around. And it doesn't matter where I am. Whether we're in church or in the senior center or at our workplace or on vacation or in a truck or in the shop, it doesn't matter. If I am a person of integrity, I am going to heaven and I am becoming more like Jesus. Bottom line, first vision priorities. This is what God wants. In your bulletin today, we put a familiar reading. I thought of this a couple weeks ago when I was preparing. And to me, this just says so much. Because this is like 2 Corinthians 3, where Paul says, you know, you are a letter that verifies how important our ministry is. And you're a letter written with the Spirit of the living God. In other words, a transformed life. And so you are writing a gospel, a chapter every day by deeds that you do, by words that you say. There's the balance. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? This is first priority when it comes to having Christian conversation in the community. And what I will say is this. To this point, we've not even talked about opening our mouths. We've talked about letting our life represent Jesus well. And that's 2 Corinthians, I think it's about 5 and verse 20 there somewhere. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so if we have this understanding, we are well on our way to being ready to open our mouth given the opportunity. So I know who I am. Jesus is the only way, and I'm one of His, and I'm going to be like Jesus. And I know where I live. I live in a community where I am seen and where I am given opportunity to serve as God gives me opportunities. And some of you are very gifted servants. Okay? But these two things have to be together. This is integrity, profession of faith, but also proof by good deeds. This was the gospel of the New Testament. So then I would come to the last question. Well, what do I say then? And to me, this is the full influence of the show and tell teaching method. Isn't that what we've been talking about all along? Show and tell. You want to see what Jesus is like? In a sense, without being arrogant, but very humble, watch me. Watch me. I am living as one seen. I am watched. And so I need to be very careful that I walk with Jesus wherever I go. And I need to display in my life the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Those things need to be represented in my life wherever I am. What do I say? I say what I know. And here in chapter 4, in verse 20, when they tried to shut down the apostles, they said, "For we cannot but help speaking what we have seen and heard." And that had to do with the resurrection. That had to do with the power of Jesus to overcome death. And the power of Jesus given by the Holy Spirit even to heal this man. Giving them an opportunity in the community to have discussion. And to ask questions. As Alwyn was reading here, I was just noting that they were, "What are we doing with these men?" they asked. And all kinds of questions just kept coming up even to the end. Well, I like verse 13 and on there. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could not see the man who had been healed stand..." Excuse me. "But since they could see the man who was healed standing there with them, there was nothing that they could say. And then they began asking and discussing among themselves, which led to further opportunity for Peter to share the gospel message." So we need to talk about what we know. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 is a very important verse. It says there, "Be ready to give an answer regarding the reason for the hope that you have in you." But then he goes on to say, "But do it respectfully." This isn't you jumping on your soapbox, but rather talking about what Jesus does for you. Very important verses. And then, secondly, I would say what you know confidently. That means that Jesus is Lord. The message I have, I know to be true. And that refers again back to 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. It also, for me, emphasizes that I need the Holy Spirit to help me not only live for Jesus, but if need be, to speak for Him. And I said before, there's sometimes I'm in a situation, I say, "Lord, should I say something now?" And actually, He says no. Because if I do, I'm wasting my words. But there's other times that He nudges me and says, "You know, you may want to say something." And often what I will say is, "Well, when I'm in that situation or I'm struggling with this and I have a tendency to worry, I find that I'm able to ask Jesus to help me with it. And Jesus gives me peace and He helps me through." And that one statement, sharing what Jesus means to me, may lead to another question. And ultimately, I find that the greatest strength is, and the apostles were doing it here, we can't help but say what we have seen and heard. God has worked in my life, and this is how I respond, and this is what God has done. And then opportunity came when Peter said, "You know, I want you to understand this, that this Jesus whom you crucified, He is Christ. And you blew it. You were mistaken. This Jesus, by the way, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Verse 12. And so we need to know how to communicate the gospel message. But we might want to start with talking about what Jesus means to me. And so this is a big issue. We can talk confidently because I'm not trying to teach. I'm not trying to preach. I'm saying, "Well, Jesus answered my prayer regarding this, and I find in this situation I have peace, and I find that Jesus helps me, and actually I have a great support group in my church family." And so we're talking very positively, and we're not doing this. We're saying, "Let me tell you what happens to me." So that's a good place to start when it comes to sharing the Lord. If you need help in terms of knowing what to say and actually sharing the gospel, then you need to pick up one of these steps to peace with God. At least it's a good teaching booklet to help you to know exactly how to tell a person to come to know the Lord Jesus personally. That's important to know too. And you should know, because haven't you gone this path yourself first? And if you knew how to come to know Jesus yourself, you ought to be able to tell others, know how to tell others to follow you. So it isn't rocket science. Give a personal testimony, and that's what Kim talked about last week. And then I would say this, lastly, pray about what to say. It's interesting that in the Gospels, Jesus talked to his disciples about a time when things would get very difficult. And they would be thrown into prison and other things. And even there, he said, now, when you're there and you stand before the judges, don't worry about what you're going to say, because at that time, the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you are to say. And to me, this is the benefit of walking with God. My vision is I'm going to heaven. I want to be like Jesus. I'm listening to God. We're walking together. So in any given situation, I'm ready to share the gospel if I have that opportunity, certainly to serve others and to encourage and sow deeds of mercy. But if need be, I can say, well, God works in me this way. And God just helps me with those types of things. But I need to, in my heart, be in an attitude of prayer. God, help me here. I'm not just sure what I need to be saying. God, should I say anything? God, what is the real issue going on in this person's life? And maybe rather than judge them, I need to say, you know, I've just found that I have forgiveness for things like this. And it comes from Jesus. And I have a supportive church family where we just seek to encourage and build up one another. And you see what you're doing? It's not connived. It's not worked up. It's natural. It's something that comes as you ask God to give you opportunities. And then in Russia, even years ago, when they were forbidden to share the gospel, they had a way of so living that they caused their community to ask them questions. And when the questions asked, like in this text, who gives you the authority to heal that guy? Well, Peter says, let me tell you, the God who exists, his son Jesus, who rose from the dead. And you see what's happening? As we're in an attitude of prayer and we're ready, God brings opportunities our way. And this is really what we need to pray for. I'm just going to read one final scripture before we get into communion. And that's in Colossians chapter 4, in verse 2. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God would open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody. Now, we may not be an apostle, and we may not be a pastor or an evangelist, but this text covers us, every one of us, in whatever unique way God has gifted us to share Jesus. But he's called all of us to share it by how we live. So this is where we begin. And beyond that, I can't give you specific things to say to certain situations, because the dependency upon the Holy Spirit to give those words may be very much more to the point at that given time than I could ever give to you. And we need to be praying through those things. When we come to the communion table this morning, the very things that we've been talking about are so relevant, because Jesus essentially says by a communion table, which reminds us of big priorities in following Jesus, he essentially says, are you with me? Because that is communion, isn't it? Are you with me? Do you see what I did? Are you listening to me? Are you becoming like me?
Do you want to follow me?
I was a servant. I sacrificed myself. Are you with me? And certainly this is the call to remember at this table today. We remember that everything we have is because Jesus gave His body. He gave His blood on the cross. He paid the death penalty for us. And so today we're reminded that I have nothing before God except that Jesus took my place. And if I have Him as my Savior, then I too am prepared to go to heaven. But beyond that, if I am prepared, then the reality is I need to walk with God here. And that is proof of the fact that I am in a relationship with God. And so this is an opportunity for us as those who claim to be Christians to come and examine ourselves to make sure that when we participate at this table, that we are with Christ in terms of having eternal life and in terms of having a Christ-likeness in how we live here. The scriptures are very clear. If we're rebelling against God in these things, we ought not to participate at this table. That's 1 Corinthians 11. If you're just being disobedient and you have a lackadaisical attitude toward these things, it is an indication that we are not in communion. So why participate? Why put on a show when in reality we have no intention? God sort of gives this like a checkpoint along our way. He's saying to us this morning, stop. Just stop. Examine yourself. Are you with me? And He's not saying, well, stay away. He's saying, well, if you're not with me, isn't right now a good time to turn from that sin and rebellion and walk with me from this point on? That's what he wants us to do. This is one of the reasons for communion. Remember me, follow me. I'm going to ask those who are going to help me, Jason and Bill, this morning, if they'll come as we prepare for the communion table. In our church, as we distribute the elements, we hold on to our element if you want to participate with us. And then we eat when all of us have a piece of bread or the cup together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you today that you're a great God. We have so much to share about you, but we need boldness just like the apostles. And that boldness comes when it's very personal to us, but when the Holy Spirit also empowers us and enables us to speak words in particular situations that you give. And so, Father, today when we come to this table, we know that this table is a proclamation of the fact that Jesus gave His body on the cross so that we could experience deliverance from eternal death. He paid the death penalty for us. And so today it's with thanksgiving that we come and we thank you for the broken body of our Lord Jesus on our behalf. Help us to be appreciative, to remember Him, to desire to be like Him, even as we partake together. In Jesus' name, amen. a table of thanksgiving. And so when we participate together, it's with an attitude of gratefulness for what God has done for us. And in doing so, we're saying, Jesus, I remember you, I'm with you, let's walk together, let's eat. Bill, would you give thanks for the cup, please?
Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we are so thankful that we are here present with you as our unseen host at your table. We thank you, Father, for what Jesus did for us as he went to Calvary for his broken body and his shed blood. And so, Father, as we partake of this symbol today of his shed blood, impress upon us the importance of living for you, that others might see you through us. This we ask in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Lord, we are grateful today for the fact that you gave yourself. And we ask that as we drink together, that indeed we may honor you by our attitudes and our desire to follow you. Let's drink. Let's stand together and sing two verses of our final hymn, Make Me a Channel.